Well, I would appreciate your prayers today. I put the topic on the board. It's So Run. That's found in 1 Corinthians 9th chapter. Go back to about 21 of the 9th chapter. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak become I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. So we're given some instructions here about our Christian race. They that run a race run all. In a natural race, of course, there's one winner, the guy that wins the race, but he's encouraging us here to obtain. The race here is not a race of sprint. It's a race to obtain. It's to set a goal. You're not running against me. We're not trying to run against each other. We're running, in a sense, against Satan. We're running against the things that may happen in life, because they do happen in life. But the instruction was to so run. Run to obtain the goal. The goal is that one of these days, I'm going to have to lay this body down, and when I do, I've been faithful to the Lord. And the thing about it is we don't know what life might hold between that time. It isn't one of speed. Sometimes it's a crawl. Sometimes it's just a little inching. Sometimes it's just a going. But what it never is, it's never quitting. So I want to encourage us today. I want this to be an encouragement. Preached on this many times. So run. Run to obtain. Lord, help us to set into our hearts that, Lord, I want to be successful living for the Lord. And I'm not going to let anything stop me. Because the truth of it is that there can be some really discouraging things happen in life. If we allow it, there's a lot of different things that go. Sometimes it seems like the devil will just, they'll just be, I don't know where to go or what to do. I don't know what the next thing I should be doing. I just don't know what it is. But the one thing I do know is that I can't quit. I don't want no desire in me to quit at all. Lord, help us that in this day and time that we live in, that we set solidly in our hearts and minds, Lord, I mean to go on. I mean to fight the fight of faith. And we'll look at that a little bit. It's 223 in our book. The determination of the writer, I'm going on. It says, I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I shall not know, for God will give me victory if onward I shall go. Should opposition come? I think you could almost say when opposition comes. Should opposition come? Should foes obstruct my way? Should persecution fire be lit? Fires be lit as in the ancient day. With Jesus by my side, his peace within my soul. No matter if the battle's hot, I mean to win the goal. I see a shining crown awaiting over there. I see a mansion all prepared and decked with beauties rare. Shall that which intervenes deprive me of my right? Nay, on I'll go until I reach the city of delight. Then forward, let us go, our hearts with love aflame, our snowy banner borne aloft, inscribed with Jesus' name. The host of evil flee, and heaven's open gates invite me now to hasten where eternal glory waits. The second verse especially, should opposition come, should foes obstruct my way, should persecution's fire be lit as in the ancient day. The idea of all of the things that might come into life, all the different aspects of life, things can happen that you'd never hardly thought of would happen or dreamed that would happen. And those things come to discourage, comes to tear us down, to make us lose our faith, to make it seem like it's not hardly worth it to go through this. I want to encourage you today, it will be worth it. It is going to be worth it to be able to come down to the end of our lives and know God is not going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. God's going to be there with us through all this. If we'll stay with the Lord and have the determination, give us a stronger determination today than we've ever had before, that I mean to go right on. But do you know some of the things that's hardest? Maybe not on everybody, but one of the things that's hardest on, you know, failure is the hardest thing. Failures is one of the hardest things. I'm not talking about looking at other people's failures and judging them as failures. Now, I can say God help them and bless them and do that. It's my own failures sometimes that makes it difficult for me to really go on, press on in that, to go on in that. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to have a determination that nothing's going to keep me from serving you. The failures come, but instead of looking at it, you know, most of life is a perspective. It's how you see the thing, what you do. There's a story out there. Some of you heard it. It's a part of our life now and things in our society. It was a transgender deal where a swimmer, and he's transgender into a woman's, and so he was swimming on the woman's team, and he broke the girl's record by 40. Listen, records are meant to be broke by fractions of seconds. This guy, I don't even know how to say it in our society. You guys know what I'm talking about. She swam 40 seconds, broke the record by 40 seconds. And that's discouraging. There's been a lot of talk about it because there's women swimmers, right? And what are they going to do? They're like saying, if I train and train and train and train, my highest number is 40 seconds lower than this. It's discouraging. But you know, there was one that had the attitude, well, I'm going to have to swim harder. You know, it's a perspective. I'm not saying anything about that per se. I just want to tell the story that the attitude is of I need to swim faster is a good attitude to have in life, because the thing about it is you can say, I did this and did this and I don't feel good about what happened. And you can say, well, I ain't no use to me trying. Or you can say, I need to pray more. I need to get closer to the Lord, because the Lord ain't never failed nobody. The Lord's got grace. Do we believe that today? You think God's got grace? God's got grace enough for us to be what He wants us to be. God's got power enough to do that. God knows how to get to our intellect wisdom. God knows how to give us wisdom. All we got to do is ask, and it isn't always easy. Sometimes you have to inch into this stuff. Sometimes you have to crawl into it. Sometimes you have to just have the determination, I mean to go right on, and you say, how long am I going to have to crawl? Well, till you get to the finish line, you're going to have to crawl. See, this is not a race against one. This is a race about making it. It isn't me getting there faster or doing better. This is about me being successful to make it. And I've told this story. You've heard it many times. Most of you probably have. But there was a story. It was back when I was younger. There was a story about a triathlon contest. It was a woman a woman's triathlon contest. And in the contest, if I remember right, they start off, I believe they start off swimming. And they swim for so many miles, and then they come back and they get on a bicycle and they ride for 120 miles on a bicycle, and then they run a marathon, 26.2 miles. And so it was called the Iron Man con, or Iron Woman contest, and they was in this, and I remember the story of this woman that she was way out ahead of everybody. And it's coming down at the end of the marathon run, and she was within a couple hundred yards of the finish line, and she was barely going, and she was trying to just barely get there, and she struggles, and she struggles, and she falls, and she gets up, and she goes on, and she falls, and she gets up, and she struggles a little farther, and she falls. And I remember the story is that she lost her body functions. She was going to the finish line. You see, she's going to the finish line. She was way ahead. And she finally got down. She couldn't get back up again. So she starts crawling to the finish line. And before she got across the finish line, somebody else passed her. She did not win the earthly crown of being the one that got across there first. But she spoke of such determination. This is what the writer was talking about. They that run a race, run all. You've got to put everything into this. If you're going to be successful, it has to be a total determination. I mean to cross the finish line. I mean to get that crown for my life. And there's nothing that the disappointments. Yeah, there's disappointments. Can I tell you something now? This is fundamentals. This is, you may say, this is the gospel 101. But we're a human. The preacher standing up here is human. You can put what's due on him, but you can't make him God, because he'll disappoint you. And disappointments have brought a lot of people down because they thought too highly or too much of that. Do you know we're all subject to the same things? And I'm not diminishing. I'm not trying to diminish our experience with one another, but I want to put the reality on it. We're not God. I appreciate you all, but you're not God. I need God. I need your people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Many people have looked at failures of congregations or failures of individuals, all that, and said, I thought they was better than that, and it was better than me, so why should I go on? This is so disappointing and discouraging. You got your heart in the wrong place. Get it on one that never fails. Be determined. I'm going to go and live for the Lord. And if there's some other stuff, I'm going to pray for you to go too. We're going to pray for all. But it's Jesus that's going to get us there. I need to keep my heart, my eyes on Jesus. And not looking off to the other side. I need to keep my heart and mind on Jesus. And again, I hope you don't think I'm diminishing, because the truth of it is through God's grace and power, we're changed individuals, but we're not perfect. And there can be failures in every one of our lives. And if we don't live, I'll say it differently. If we don't live close to the Lord, there'll be failures in your life. If I don't live close enough to the Lord, there will be failures in my life, because He is the power that keeps us from the failures. So run. So run with the determination that I'm gonna keep living for the Lord no matter what. And there may be some embarrassing times. I tried to live for the Lord and I failed, and now it looks like everybody's going to look at me like he's just a failure. And the old devil likes to come and say, yeah, you're a total disaster. You just, okay, devil, I'm a total disaster. That's true, but I'm going to live right on for the Lord. I'm going to keep going right for the Lord, because as the apostle said, when Jesus asked him, will you go away also, in John 6:67 and 68, And they said that are you going to go away like the other ones do? And the answer was, is where would we go? What am I going to do now here in my life? I've lived for the Lord. I've lived for the Lord since I was 23 years old. What am I going to do? I'm almost 60. What am I going to do now that's going to be a better life? What am I going to do to live life? No, I don't aim to do any. I'm going to live for the Lord. I want to be successful at the end of this to say that, Lord, here I am, take me. I want the testimony of
of Paul when he said, I fought a good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. Was it perfect? No, it wasn't perfect. There was times that I had to go through things. There was times to where, I'll be honest with you, there was times that before the Lord, in tears, the only thing that made a difference was to me that I could say, Lord, I know you love me. I know you love me and you are not discarding me. I know if you died for me on the cross, that you're still with me. That you're still going to keep me because you wouldn't have died for me and just threw me away. I know that you still love me and that I can live for you. And that was the only thing he did. But it was the determination that God wants us to have to serve him. So there's a race. And in a race, and Lord help us, but in a race, when you're running a race, you train. You do everything. You do everything. You eat right. You train. Those that train, when he said they run, they do this, they run all, it means that it, in order to compete, they knew what it meant to compete. And that means in our lives that we do take advantage of every situation that we can. We take advantage of everything that will help us. Everything that will give us a step up. We take it, they run all. This is so, going to heaven is so important. It means that I'm going to take the time to do it. I'm not just waiting to the end to see how it works out. No, I'm going to run all. That means that I'm going to give my mind to the Word of God. It means that I'm going to give my time and attention to service. I'm going to be diligently asking the Lord, what do you want me to do and where do you want me to do it at? I'm going to be very diligent about the things in my life. Lord, if you want me to do this, whatever you want to do for the relationship, that's what I'm going to do because I need to do everything. I'm going to run all. I mean to make it to heaven. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run, it meant to obtain, to get the prize. You ain't taking the prize from me. I won't take it from you. There's one for all of us. But run to obtain. Got to make it somehow. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body. And what Paul's saying here is that I got a particular, I'm not just beating the air, it's just not thrown out to the wind. I got a purpose and I'm fulfilling the purpose. Every strike I throw, every punch I hit, everything it does, I do it with a purpose. I'm not just wasting energy. I've got a purpose for what I'm doing. In all of this, I'm beating myself. I'm putting, which literally was saying, giving myself a black eye. I'm putting myself under. I'm putting my flesh down. I'm putting my flesh down. The flesh don't want to get up in the morning to come to service, but you put it down. The flesh don't want to read the Bible, but you put it down. The flesh doesn't want to give itself to spiritual things, but you put it down. And you conquer by the help of the Lord. You conquer that is what Paul's talking about. I'm going to run a race and the flesh is going to hinder me. I've got to put it down. I've got to put it into submission. Because even the Apostle Paul recognized that in his position, the one that was caught up to the third heavens, done all of this stuff, he recognizes in himself that if I don't do this, that after I preach to others, told them the good word of God, told them what God's doing, all of those things, I'll be a castaway. You know what he's saying? Going to heaven is more important than being the apostle here and preaching. I've got to make it to heaven. This is the whole goal and the whole purpose of this. If opposition comes, if foes obstruct my way, it don't look like I can go anywhere. It's obstructed. Sometimes out on the highways, we got a determination. We don't turn around. I don't remember ever turning around. Maybe if it got bad enough, I'd turn around. But if I'm going on a trip, I'm going to Oklahoma, and I'm going on a trip, and somewhere down in Louisville, the traffic's gnawed up, and you're moving an inch every few minutes and all that, I'm still going to Oklahoma. I still got to go. I got a destination that I'm going to go, and it's wonderful when I'm going 75 miles an hour. I think it's 80 in Oklahoma now, isn't it? I think there's places in Oklahoma that it's 80 miles an hour now. 80 miles an hour is getting on it. You can get somewhere like that, and that's good. I like doing that. But I'm still going to Oklahoma when I'm just inching along, just moving barely, because there's always, I know, from somewhere up there, it's going to break loose. Somewhere up there, I'm going to be able to gain some ground. Somewhere there's an obstacle. There's an obstruction here. But that obstruction isn't going to be the end of it. Sometimes we look at it like that and say, what am I going to do with this? That's not the end of it, folks. There's something on the other side of this. God's got this plan for you. There's an obstruction here. This happened. But it didn't happen without reason. It happened for a reason. It happened for that. And God knows how to take that and do something with it. So keep running. Keep running. Find out what it was about. Yeah, this is in my life right now. It's discouraging. It's all these things. Lord, what do you have in it for me? In a few months, you'll inch and you'll scratch and a little bit. And one day you'll do that and all of a sudden it's going to open up and you're wide open again. You got the throttle open and you're moving on because the Lord's opened it back up. There's going to be times you move it awful slow. There's going to be some times that you feel some doubt. Sometimes there's going to be some opposition comes and things come that you don't know what to do with. But my experience in living for the Lord, and I believe it's scripturally sound, that there is something on the other side of it. It's going to break free one of these days and you're going to be gone again. And that's all right. Brother Salmon said, I see the help. I see it coming down the road. It ain't long now. I see it. It ain't here, but I see it coming. You know, by faith, it's coming and it's on the way. Lord, help us. Oh, I want to look at another scripture. Matthew 24:13. Matthew 24. Fifth verse starting says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end's not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and there shall and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That is quite a list of things that can be very discouraging. We can look at our world sometimes, and there may be, and I ain't applying any of this to this, and this has been used for generations for sure, but there can be, in this unstable time of ours, of the COVID era, and of rumors of war with Russia, and rising inflation, and bad economies and all of these things. There can be an attack on our minds sometimes about the what the future would be. And to be honest with you, probably most of us that's my age and above worry more about our children and grandchildren than we do ourselves. We've just about got this thing in the bag, but we naturally are concerned for our children and grandchildren and those kind of things. The way I think about it and do it and all of these things that we're saying and things that's happening, could happen in the world and all these kind of things is discouraging. Well, the answer is not to stop. Brother Sammons made a comment one time about how he had noticed over the years that every time somebody should be running to the Lord, they're running away from him. I think he actually said it the other way. Every time somebody's running away from the Lord, he should be running to him. When something happens that we can't understand or do, we should be running to the Lord, not away from him. Well, this passage of scriptures would seem like it could be awfully depressing with all of this stuff happening and all these kind of things. Well, what was the answer then to all of these things? What's the solution to all these things? I'll say first, nothing happens that God don't know about. God loves us, and that's something you got to anchor yourself onto. But he gives us the answer here. Keep going. Okay. All this stuff happened. Opposition comes, and foes obstruct my way. If persecution, like in the ancient day, I mean, what are we going to do? He gives us the answer. He says, let me get this verse too, 12th verse. And because iniquity abound, the love of many wax cold. We live in such a different world. My daughter Sarah sent me a picture yesterday of me and her when she was that cute little girl. She was tucked in my arms like this. She was this cute little girl, a couple years old maybe. She had this little grin on her face, and I'm there at about 30 years old. I don't know, something like that. And I looked at that and said, wow, has time changed? Time has really changed for all of us, but it's changed more than just in our personal bodies and our lives, our environment, our culture, our social life. Everything is drastically changed. The scripture says, because iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold. I just speak this personally. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen to you. From my experiences over and over with people in foreign lands, it's given me such a perspective of what we are here. Because it's not just judging ourselves by ourselves, but it's a relative thing to really realize just how blessed I am here and how there's people in the world that are diligently praying to eat today. They are begging God that their children get something to eat today. And when I see that and realize that I'm not in that kind of place, and God didn't put me in that kind of place, but God don't want me to just have the world at my fingertips. The internet age has made everything accessible to us. We can do anything, see anything, listen to anything, watch anything. We can do that just about if it was ever created in the earth. We can do it now. Don't mean we should. You better be careful. Better be careful. I mean to go right on. I live in a peculiar time. By God's grace, I can go on through this time. I'm not going to let it stop me. See? I'm not going to let it change it. But it'll wax. Your heart will. What do you do when your heart's, when you've waxed cold? The love's waxed cold. Where's the motivation for really doing it now? No, I mean to go on. We live in a particular, unique time for the United States, right here in Green Bank area where we're at in West Virginia, right here in the time. There was a time that the world was doing a lot of stuff that we only heard about because we're tucked back in the mountains. And it wasn't a lot for us. We was always 10 years behind everything. You know, some of the poorest people I know in the world has got a cell phone. It's just true. It's cost so cheap. You can get a China one. You can get one made from China for $13. It's everywhere, but it may have an effect on us. And what we realize is that I'm here. I'm here now. I'm not. Unless things changes, I don't have to pray diligently getting up in the morning that we eat. I got food in the cupboard, but I'm gonna have to pray for my soul. I'm going to have to pray to be faithful today. Having that and not having any of the alternative things that make me pray, I'm going to have to pray because my soul's at stake. See, understand what I'm saying? I mean to go right on. I'm fighting it different. We'll fight a different battle than others will, but there's a battle to fight. And the answer to the problem in the 13th verse was, it says, "And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." You know, there's an enduring. So, maybe I wasn't altogether what I should have been yesterday. That's it, I quit. Maybe if I look back in 2022, I could say, I sure wish I'd done that better. What's the answer? I mean to go right on. Lord, I said 22, 21. Well, 22, Lord, help us to go, to help us to go on and live faithfully to you. There is a common scripture, I won't turn to it. It says, quit ye like men. Be strong and quit ye like men. That's a funny thing because it says quit like something, but what it means is, how's a man quit when he's got a job to do? Now, I ain't talking about modern, what's the idea here is what a man's supposed to be. He's supposed to get a hold of something and stay hold of it until it's done. If my family's hungry, I got to keep on till I feed them. The quitting wasn't an option. I got to keep going. You quit like a man, a strong man, a warrior. You quit like that. That means that I ain't going to quit until the thing's accomplished, so there's something to be done at the end of it. The whole thing's done. The journey's over. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Now there's a crown laid up for me. I was able to endure all this. All the things that come that was meant to discourage me, was meant to throw me off track, was meant to do all those things, and what did it end up doing? It just made me stronger, made me want to live for the Lord more. I got down to the end of it, and there was all this opposition. You know, a mountain standing in your way. You might run up and there's a great mountain in your way. I'm going to tell you, you'll be stronger when you get to the top of it. When you get to the top of it, there'll be more glory. You'll see farther. You'll be stronger and you'll see farther and you'll be a way accomplished from doing it. But sometimes the very obstacle that's there is God's way of taking us to heaven, and we'll look at it as something that'll never get me there. But the Lord's saying, you start crawling, son. You start crawling. And you'll crawl a ways, and then you'll get up and you'll walk limp a ways, and then there'll be a time that you're going to top this mountain out by my grace, and you're going to know what it's about at the end of it. You know, Ecclesiastes 7, I don't know exactly what sure verse it is, but it says the end of a matter is better than the beginning thereof, or in that sense. Why? Because I got perfect vision once I've done it. I can know what it's about once I've got through it. And now I know what that was about. And I look back at the hard times of my life, not knowing how I could go through that. One of them I've mentioned many times to you is when Tammy was sick and dying and didn't know how I was going to go through it. My emotions was raw. I was completely given out to the strength and duty to do anything. But I determined I'm going to live for God anyway. And I told the Lord one night, I said, Lord, I don't know if I can go on. I can't go on like this. There's nothing I can do. I need help. I can't go on. Not a bit of me was wanting to quit the Lord. It was just that I didn't know from an emotional standpoint that I was going to completely crack. If you've never been there, I hope you never are. But I thought I was going to completely crack. And I said, Lord, I'm at the wit's end. I'm at the end of the rope. You're going to have to help me. And it's exactly what he did. At that time where I thought I was as close as I was as close as I could to breakdown, God opened up heaven on me and flooded me with an experience that I can still testify to you today that gave me the grace and ability to go through, and I am totally confident that God's waiting to open the windows on any of us as long as we'll go on. He's not going to fail us in it. If you endure to the end, you shall be saved. I want to look, I know it's getting a little late, but I want to look at one scripture I have in my mind. It's in Isaiah, I think, 30. Isaiah 30, for the 19, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed unto the corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand or when ye turn to the left hand, well, the idea of that scripture is actually don't turn to the right hand or to the left hand. But if you turn to the right hand and to your left hand, you hear a word behind you saying, this is the... Quit looking. Peter, quit looking at the waves. Children of God, quit looking at the storms. Quit looking at the Russian conflict. I'm not saying it for our information. I'm saying that the worrisome thought. Quit looking to those, all of those things. You hear the word behind you. This is the way. I got you. This is the Lord's way of saying, I got you right where I want you. But Lord, I can't even see through the fog. I can't see where to go. Remember, I used to drive over to Birch River and back, and they'd come across Point Mountain. And if there's a foggier place, well, I know England's known for its fog in different places, but if there's a foggier place on the planet, I don't know where it's at than Point Mountain sometimes. That is the foggiest place coming over there. There's sometimes you can't always see anything ahead of you. And I'd be over there in the middle of the night coming back home, and I always love coming home. I still love coming home. If I'm anywhere, I love going home. And you know what? I never stopped. I got awfully slow sometimes, kind of feeling your way. But I didn't stop. And I didn't stop because I was going home. And you know what always happened? When you start down the other side, you get far enough and you start, and the fog starts letting up. You start moving a little better. You move a little better. There's a voice behind you. You look off to the right, off to the left. No, you're on the path. You're on the road. This road leads home, folks. The road goes someplace, and it goes home. And the idea is that one of these days, it's going to break loose again. And in my experience with living for the Lord, that's what it's been. It's been from the time I started. It's been times of victories and hallelujah testimonies. And then it's been times of hanging your head and going to the altar. And then there's been times of total indifference. You know, they're about as dangerous as anything. As a matter of fact, I think indifference is more dangerous than hallelujahs or depression. Because at least there's something's going on. And this indifference, and there's been times like that that I've noticed that I have no passion hardly at all. I have no desire hardly at all. I just will go on a humdummy to get doing days and applying myself to the different things that I'm doing in my work and whatever it is. And there's been a time that I've had to come and say, Lord, help me. Fire me back up with some passion. Where is the way? And there'll be the voice that'll bring you. That'll bring you through that. And you know what the Lord's good about sometimes? I'll say in my life, when I got to that kind of place, I'll come home and one of the children will be real sick. And you know what my first prayer used to be? You guys probably don't know nothing about this, so I'm going to tell you. My first prayer would be, Lord, I'm sorry But sure am thankful. I'm sorry that I haven't been as diligent as I should be, but Lord, I'm sure thankful that you bring this to attention. And you know what happens at the end of it? The Lord touches, and at the end of it, you feel God's there again, and you can say, Lord, thank you. I mean to go right on. And as the apostle said, when Jesus said, where will you go? I'm going to challenge you. Do you really think that there's anything in this life that really is going to satisfy you? If you do, let me know what it is, what you think it is. Because I've tried a lot of things, and it ain't going to happen. No, I mean to go right on. The Lord is the way of satisfaction in this life. And I am so grateful that the Lord has helped me. I'm going on, well, I got saved. I'll be 60 years old come July, and I got saved when I was 23. So it's been a while, 37 years of in February, actually. I got saved in February, so it's almost 37 years, and I mean to go right on. Lord, help me and give me the strength, and I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't. I do these notes, and I don't read them a lot, but I do these notes when I preach. See my notepad, and then I rip these out, and I've went through literally hundreds and hundreds of these. And if I was going to start writing down all the times that I felt like that I didn't do what I should and failed and all the problems, I wouldn't start with that many pages. I'd go ahead and get a new one, because it would take that much to start writing it all down. But through it all, the years, through all of that, I'm still here.
Yes, thank the Lord.
I'm still here, and that means so much to me. I thank God for being faithful to me and helping me and keeping me. So I just wanted to encourage you. Very simple little message, but have the determination. Get the determination. I mean to serve the Lord. I'm not going to stop serving God. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.